Good morning. I'm scared. is that what Brother Denny says? It's humbling. Well, I suddenly went blank. I guess that's normal too. Sometimes. I've spoken in front of people before, but not this many. And it is different standing up here than down there doing family verses and songs or children's lessons. I pray that you just pray with me as I go through this. If I start to tremble and stutter, just pray for me. I'm already dry. Could we kneel and pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, I just humbly bow before Your feet. I am so unworthy to be here. I am not worthy enough, I don't feel in my own heart. Father, there are so many more that are so much worthier than I. And I pray, Father, as I stand up here, that I would just speak the words that You've laid on my heart and help me not to tremble too much. Father, I pray that as people look at me up here, they will not see Ricky up here. They will see Jesus. I pray, Father, that they would look past me and not look at me and try to exalt myself, but they would see the fruits of Jesus here and what You have made and what You have become in my life and in our hearts. Father, I just want to be used of You. And I pray, Father, You would just break me now. Pour me out, Father. Remold that potter and fill it up with Your Spirit now, Father. And let it overflow. And may Your name be exhorted, and all glory and honor and praise be unto You and brought to Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I feel like first to share, I want to share with you just what they would say, just that you're just going to get just the iceberg of, tip of the iceberg of what the Lord has done in our family and our lives due to sake of time. But I do want to share and kind of set the setting a little bit there before I start. That I don't want anybody that I say be offensive to anyone here. I don't want to let you think that I'm speaking at you or talking to you, because all of this that I'm about to share has happened to us before we ever even thought about coming to Charity. And everything I'm about to share is about me and my family. And if the Lord, you know, so chooses to convict somebody and bless somebody and break your heart, praise the Lord. You know, it's nothing of me, and I don't want any glory and I don't want any honor to come to me. I want just the Lord to be exalted. So I pray that you would not take offense of anything I have to say, or and realize that it's all pointed back to me. It's what the Lord has done in our lives. Okay, I'm just going to try to go through this quickly because I don't know if I'll make it in time. Do the best I can. Well, it's been almost 4 years ago now, but I'm just going to go back to about a 2 year period that the Lord spoke to our hearts. And as we were broken, our hearts were broken, we knelt down at our fireplace in our home, and that was our family altar. We just laid a blank sheet of paper in front of the Lord, and we said, "Here, Lord, here's the paper, and You just fill it out, and we'll do what You say, and we'll follow You, and You write it there, and we'll just say, yes, Lord, and we'll follow it." Well, after we got up, I don't know how many days later it was, but I asked the Lord, you know, "Lord, well, what do we need to do first? What do we need to do first?" And the Lord spoke to me in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, which everybody knows that. It's when the Lord spoke to Abraham. But when He spoke these words, He wasn't speaking it to Abraham. He was speaking it to me. And so in Romans, or Genesis 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee." Well, I took that and I knew what the Lord was saying to me, and I took it though to other people and I shared with them what the Lord had said to me and what He was doing in my life, and every one of them that I shared that with shared with me, well, maybe that's just the Lord telling you He wanted to have your willingness to give it up. Maybe He just wanted you to be willing to give it up and to leave it. And so I listened to that and I justified that in my own mind, and because I really didn't want to give up. I had a good job, as quote to the world. I had a good retirement to look forward to. I had a nice place. You know, we didn't have a real expensive house, but it was something that was nice to us. And I'd worked hard on the farm there, and we'd finally got the farm where we liked it. I had our pastures the way we liked it. You know, the ground was growing good, and we were doing well. And I really didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to leave all that. And so I said, "Well, Lord, yes, I'll give it up. I'd gladly give it up for You, Lord." But I knew in my heart what He was saying for me to really give it up. He wanted me to really leave it. Well, as most of you have heard our testimony here, that was that was the beginning. Is where I saw, as I disobeyed the Lord, that He took His hand off of me then, and I believe He allowed Satan to have his way with me. And in those 2 years, that was the roughest and most miserable 2 years of my life. At the end of those 2 years, I was broken, feeling discouraged, defeated, no more of use for God anymore. So my dear wife, you know, she prays for me. She encouraged me to have a season alone. And I just listened to that tape of Brother Denny of having a season alone. And so as we make a big step in our lives to have that, and I know, and to God, it's in everything we are, just by the grace of God and who we are. But I want to just exalt my wife here a minute, if I can make it through it. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it wasn't for her prayers and her fasting for me, I wouldn't be here. She's everything to me. She's everything I am. And as you've heard about him, you know, I forget who it was that wrote that. It said that if his wife died, you know, Lord, take him too, because he's nothing without his wife. That's the same way I am. I'm nothing without her. And all the glory goes to the Lord and to her for me being here. Well, before I went to have my season alone, I went up into the field and where we lived out there, and I walked up where a tree had just fallen over in the field and we were trying to burn it up. And I sat down on that tree and with my Bible and concordance in my hand, and I just cried out to the Lord, "Lord, can You use me? Can You do anything with my life anymore? Can You ever forgive me? Will You ever forgive me?" And as I prayed there, I searched out the Lord, and I wanted to share something or study something there as I was reading my Bible, and something that was dear to my wife, and she had asked me to search the matter out, and I had not really done it. But I really wanted to preach or share something and learn something from him and what my wife had asked me to search out. And that was the head covering. And I really appreciate what Brother Rick said last week about that. But, you know, that was already on my heart. And I just really wanted to please her. And I wanted to show her that I wanted to search something out for her. And so as I flipped through my Bible and with tears in my eyes and my eyes were watering, and I thought I was turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord stopped me. He knew what I needed. And when I had stopped, I thought I was at 1 Corinthians 11, but I really stopped in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. verse 21. And when I looked down there and tried to blur my eyes, I looked down there in the first part of verse 21. At that time, the whole thing came up as capital letters. And just stuck out. I don't know if anybody here has had that ever happen to them, but it just stuck out to me. And I can see now that they're not all in capital letters. But the Lord wanted me to see that. And to show His mercy on me. And His love. And He's so patient on us. So I looked there. In verse 21, He says, "Art thou called to be a servant?" And I just started busting out crying again. And just started praising the Lord and lifted up. I said, "Lord, am I a servant? Am I of yours? Do you forgive me? Can I go on?" And as we started to read down, I started to read down more. After I looked back down, He says, "Care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, use it rather." And on further, it's, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Now I looked up that word "free man" in my Bible part footnote here. It said "made free," but I looked it up in the concordance and it said "one freed away, a free man." And I knew right then in my heart that everything of the world, all worldly desires, my own ambitions, my own thoughts were gone. I only wanted to be free in Jesus. I just wanted to follow Him. I wanted to serve Him. I wanted to do whatever He said. I wanted to be in total obedience, no matter what it was, and be ready to say, "Yes, Lord." Well, as I read down some more, he even confirmed it even more in my heart. He says, "Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of men. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." Oh, and I wanted that. I wanted to just abide with the Lord. And as I prayed the Lord, I lifted up and the wind blew, and it blew my pages over. And you know, I don't usually, you know, lean on that either. I've heard of that. But you know, you have to understand, in Arkansas, the wind doesn't blow like it does here in Pennsylvania. It doesn't always keep blowing. In Arkansas, you'll sweat and you get hot and you pray for the breeze to come. When a little breeze comes, you say, "Thank you, Lord, for that breeze," you know, and praise the Lord. So I really took it from the Lord. I was sitting there and the wind blew and blew the pages over. And He stopped the pages in Romans chapter 11. And just to even confirm it anymore, to show in my heart how He's forgiven me. In chapter 11, verse 27, He said, "For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." And I know He's talking about Israel here. And I started thinking about Israel and how many times the Lord forgave Israel. And how many times He overlooked their faults. And I started thinking, you know, to myself, how many times have you forgiven me, Lord? How many times are you going to forgive me? But after I looked back at it, it's almost like the Lord put my name in that verse. And so I looked back at it and I said, "For this is my covenant unto Ricky, when I shall take away his sins." And I knew right then the Lord forgave me. And He was ready to just break my heart even more. And then I looked down to Romans 12, which we were already memorizing that. But He spoke to me again through it again. He says, "I beseech you," just like you pointed out a couple weeks ago when Brother Burkholder was up here. He spoke to me in that same way. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I knew right then my reasonable service was just to please God and to do, let Him have His way with me. And to let Him do with me with His pleasure, not my pleasure, not what I wanted. And that was my reasonable service. And then on to verse 2 there, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and perfect and acceptable, that is an acceptable and perfect will of God." And then I looked back over and I was thinking, "Okay, Lord, you want me to give it all up. I understand. But you know, I worked hard for this, you know, and there's a lot here. You know, it's hard to just give this up. You know, I didn't want to give up my place." And then I looked over here in chapter 10 and verse 21. The bottom word stuck out to me was gainsaying. But I'll read the whole verse to you. It says, "But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto the disobedient and gainsaying people." And right then the Lord pricked my heart and he took me to Mark 8:36, where it says, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And so I knew all these things I worked for, they're nothing. My future, my retirement is nothing. What would it gain me if I gain all this and have a good retirement to look forward to and lose my family and lose my own soul? So in Mark there too, 8:38, he spoke to me and says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And the Lord spoke to me there is when he first told me to leave our place and share that, I didn't share it. My brothers and my sisters were there and I wouldn't share my vision because I feared what they would say, you know, you're crazy and you don't know what you're doing. And I feared that. But the Lord told me, he says, if I'm telling you to do it and you know it's of the Lord, just speak it. Don't be ashamed of me, because if you're going to be ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And so I did. I began to tell my brothers and my sisters what the Lord was telling me and my father and my mother. And I shared with them what the Lord was doing to me through the life of Abraham as I studied Abraham's life. And they began to tell me just what the Lord said, what I thought and feared. You're crazy. You know, the Lord doesn't speak to you like he did Abraham's day. You know, he doesn't. I said, well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't come to us and just out of heaven say, Ricky, do this. But as we read his word and our hearts are in one accord with his heart, and he speaks to us through his word. Even though he's speaking to somebody else, like Abraham, he really speaks to us if our heart is listening. And so, and that's what I shared with them. I shared it with them that the scripture says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And it all became so clear to me, as Brother Rick shared last week, that when we fall into obedience to the things of God, everything just comes more clearer. And it just became more clearer to me right there in that chapter of Matthew 6, where he says that, why am I clinging to these things that rust and moth and thieves will corrupt, and not seeking the things that are of heavenly, of godliness and holiness that matters, where rust and moth will not destroy and thieves can't corrupt. So that was my heart. And as I went on to my season alone, I pitched a tent out in the woods and went out there and spent a day and a half with the Lord. And I went up there and I knelt down. And I said, well, Lord, where do you want me to start? And I don't know if any of you know Ken Ham, but he would always, every time he wanted to prove something, he'd say, go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. So that's where the Lord did. He took me back to Genesis. Back to that verse he took me to 2 years before. And I read it and I said, okay, Lord, I know you want me to give up and you want me to leave this place. And you know, as humans, we want to know where we're going to go, what we're going to do, but the Lord didn't do that to me. So I said, well, I've got to have faith as Abraham did. So the Lord took me to Hebrews, the faith chapter, of course. Where else would you find faith to me? So I started to read there in verse 8 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing wherein or whither he went. Excuse me. In verse 9 he says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. And as I read those, you know, and even after I shared those with my brothers and sisters, they would say, well, where are you going? I said, well, we don't know yet. We don't know. And they all thought, you know, they hurt our feelings and stuff. And they thought, well, we were just running away from them and we were trying to hide. We were just getting away. we weren't going to tell them where we were going. So they thought we were in a cult because we wouldn't tell them where we were going. And I told them, I said, I really don't know where we're going. I said, as soon as we get to where we're going, I'll write you and I'll tell you and I'll let you know where we're at and what we're doing. But I don't know. And I just follow in the Lord. I just want to obey Him and just go, because I knew He was telling us to go. So I quit my job. And we just prayed and we put our place up for sale and we felt like the Lord was leading us to Missouri, but He changed our hearts in that and our journey and brought us here as you see. And that leads on to verse 10. He says, for He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that was what I wanted. I didn't care if we dwelt in tents like with Isaac and Jacob. I didn't care where we went, but we wanted to find a place we had foundations in God and followed the Lord and just wanted to serve God. And so that's where He led us here. And now, though, I feel like He's got even more for us. And in verse 16, when I read it then, back when I had my season alone, I didn't understand it that much then, but now I'm starting to understand a little more of it as He works in our lives. Verse 16, it says, but now they desired a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And I feel like that's what the Lord's leading us now, is that not to be ashamed of Him and just show that God is in control of our lives. Well, when I got through my season alone, I went back to share with my family what the Lord had shared with me and shown me. And the Lord is so gracious, He'd already prepared my family for what I was going to share, and as I shared it, they were all ready to go, and they just wanted to serve the Lord. We all sat there and cried, and we didn't care whether we had anything at all. We just wanted to go serve the Lord. We wanted to leave it all and just serve Him and be servants of God. And so when Emmanuel, when he asked me to go, he told me, he says, we just want you to go and be servants. And I said, well, what more should we do? I mean, that's the call the Lord called us to be, is with servants. Why wouldn't we go, you know? But I'm going to get ahead of myself there, but amen. But as I look back, I can truly say that what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Now I'd like to just share a little testimony on how the Lord worked in our lives for missions. The Lord really kind of prepared me for this already. 2 weeks ago, a brother asked me, he says, what did you do to prepare for missions? What did you do to prepare to go to Haiti? And I had to ponder that for a minute and think, and I was thinking to myself, Lord, what did I do? Lord, what have I done? What have I done to prepare? And I couldn't think of anything. So I just looked back and I said, brother, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to prepare for it. But I can share with you what the Lord has done to prepare us for it. And that's what I want to share with you, if I can make the time. 22 years ago, back when Susan and I first got married, which is nearly 20 years of our anniversary, but the Lord spoke to me through a TV show. You know, today I would not promote TV. I wouldn't listen to it today. It's a corruption. I wouldn't. But in our point in our life at that time, that's where we were. And praise God, He meets us where we are and where our Christian walk is. And through a TV show, He spoke to me. And, you know, if He can speak through a donkey, He can speak to whatever He wants. And so, so as I watched this show, it was a show about a young man who grew up an orphan and he had a burden for other orphan children, and he wanted to make sure that they had a good home and they were raised up right. And so at 17, he took these two little children and he started raising them up in his home. And by the time he was 18, he had 30 children in his home taking care of him. And he would have... He would have devotions with them and read the Bible to them and nurture them and know that they knew God. And I don't want to tell you the whole show. That's not the point of it. The point is that God spoke to my heart on how He nurtured those children, how He took care of them, how He had a heart for them. And somehow, I don't know why it broke me up so much, but I left the room and went back. We lived in a little trailer, just 2-bedroom trailer, just down one hall. And I went all the way back to the back room and closed the door and just cried my eyes out and lifted my head to the Lord and said, Lord, do something with my life. Do something for me. Do something with me. The one thing that I did wrong there is I didn't share that vision with my wife. And I regretted that. But I grew up in a family where my father did everything and mother just followed what he said. And if she didn't really go along with it, he could get angry with her and he would argue with her until she submitted and would go. And so I thought that's the way it was, that the Lord just speaks through the man. I get the vision and family's just supposed to follow and they're supposed to just submit and do what I say. But I can tell you here that it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way. And every time I shared my vision with her, it would nosedive. So I felt like I couldn't share it with her. And so I just left it to myself and said, Lord, you're just going to have to work through me. And I would ask other missionaries what it was like on the mission field. And most of my answers were, it's hard work and it's dangerous. And that's all they would tell me. And I said, well, Lord, if you want us to be a missionary or whatever you want me to be, you've got to do it. Well, it wasn't until years later that we went to a Bill Gothard seminar and the Lord spoke to us there and how we really didn't communicate together and we really didn't have a sharing time. And He broke our hearts to share with each other, even if it hurts, you know. Because even if it hurts, we got to pray for each other and know where each other stand and where each other are. And that's important. So as we begin to share with each other, we started seeing that and how the Lord brought us closer together, just knitted us together, closer and closer as we shared. And it was hard for me to share because I was so closed-minded in myself. It was hard to share. And we didn't agree all the time, no. But, you know, sometimes, you know, like you point out that some of you get a vision and they're further ahead than the other one. But just keep praying and just being with each other. But when we got together and we finally got that same vision together, we began to pray together for it. And there was more power. We saw more power in the Word of God when we were together. And God began to answer more prayers and more prayers. And we began to see how powerful it was to be in one accord, in unity, and our eyes set and our hearts set on the same vision. Well, as we would pray as husband and wife and knitted together, it went out onto our children. And our children began to get the same vision. And my wife would read missionary stories to us, and we would all sit there and just, oh, wish we could be there and could do that. And so, as we were preparing to leave and just go do whatever the Lord wanted us to do in Arkansas, we went to town one time to fast, or we were fasting that day, but we didn't go to town to fast. We went to town to do some shopping, and we were fasting that day, and nothing went right for us that day. Our hearts were not right, our attitudes weren't right. We didn't get along. Oh, God's never going to use us. You know, He can't do anything with us. You know, we felt inadequate. We felt like we were just falling apart. There was nothing left. But we prayed right there in the van, and as we prayed, we finished praying. We went into the Walmarts, and we got the things we wanted. And I noticed this little Mexican woman always following us around everywhere we went. And, you know, God is so good. He always knows what we need. He always does. He's the great encourager. But we started to leave. We bought our stuff. We started to leave. And we remembered we wanted to buy this plant called I'm not sure I pronounce it right, but it's a juca plant. And we went back and said, okay, we'll go get it. So we went back and we found that they even had it. It had this juca plant there. And so we were looking at it. We were studying Costa Rica in our homeschooling, and we were going to make a meal from over there. So we started talking about this plant, and some friends of ours that we knew walked up and said, what are you doing? You know, and we said, well, we're looking at this juca plant. We're wondering how to cook it. Do you know how to cook it? And they said, what? I can't even pronounce it, let alone cook it. And so this little woman walks up there and she heard our voices and she goes, she thought we were already gone and this was her opportunity. She comes up there and she, what do you know about the juca plant? And I said, well, we were just studying it in homeschooling and we wanted to know how to cook it. Do you know how to cook it? Oh, yes, I know how to cook it. I'm from Puerto Rico. I can cook it. I know what to do. And she started telling us how to cook it. And then she said, well, that's not what I came over here for. I kept praying the whole time I was here that the Lord would lead me to talk to you and to share with you. And I've been wanting to talk to you. And now He gave me an opportunity. And He goes, and she goes, I could just see the love of Jesus in your family. And that's all it took. We just busted out crying. I said, they're saying, woman, you weren't in the van with us a while ago. I was wondering how could anybody see anything in us? So we shared our hearts with her there and started telling her what we felt like the Lord was leading us. And she said, praise the Lord. Right there in the store, she raised her hands up, praise the Lord! You know, and all these people are looking around. And she goes, you go and serve the Lord to be a missionary, you'll never go hungry. So I've been doing it for 40 years and never been hungry yet, never missed a meal. Been in prison 3 times, but the Lord's always delivered me. And I said, praise the Lord, what encouragement. So we went out of there, encouraged and blessed by that. And so I'm going to skip a whole bunch here. And it wasn't until we came to, let me just share a couple other things. I could. Okay. But as the Lord prepared us, you know, each step, you know, we kept feeling like, no, we're not, this is not the way we're, the Lord's leading us. But we would run into friends and they would come up to us and say, well, we heard that you're going to be missionaries. And I said, well, Lord willing, you know, it's up to Him. And we had a brother just before we were leaving, wrote us a check out. And at the bottom of the check, he wrote to missions. So that broke our hearts, and that was encouraging. So we left out just to see what the Lord had for us. And that was our prayer. As we prayed, we just kept on praying, Lord, what do you have for us? What do you have for us in our lives as we left Arkansas? And so it wasn't until the fellowship weekend here when Emmanuel announced that they were looking for a family to go to Haiti, praying about it, a family to go to Haiti. And he shared his heart. He said he didn't want a family who just had a heart for missions. He didn't want a family who had a burden for missions, but he wanted a family who was called. Well, I went home with that day with my family, and I said, are we called to go into missions? Or, you know, has the Lord called us? And we prayed and fasted, and we kept on praying that, Lord, what do you have for us? Do we have a call to go? Is it a burden or is it just a heart thing? Or is that really what you want for us? And so, we prayed and fasted for that several days. And then in the Union County meetings, when we had the Union County meeting, the Lord really pressed on my heart and I was really uncomfortable. He wanted me to share with Emmanuel and tell him that, yes, we'd be willing to go. And I kept on struggling with that. Well, should I tell him? Should I not? Should I just let the Lord open his eyes to it? Or should I let this? Should I share it? Should I not? You know, I don't want it to be of me. I want it to be of the Lord. And yeah, there's just a war going on, you know. And all the time at Union County meeting, I tried to meet Emmanuel and talk to him, and he'd run off somewhere else, and I never could get him. And I thought, oh, Lord, you're making this hard for me. And so when we came back here, it was one of the first Sundays here back that I got to meet him right as he was running around, because you know Emmanuel, he's always going, you know. And so I said, brother, did you find anybody to go to Haiti? And he looked at me and he said, no. And I before I could get another word out, he says, why, do you want to go? You know? And I said, well, if the Lord could use us. And so he shared a little bit with me and then he said, well, I got to go. And he runs off and that was it, you know. So, but I had a peace in my heart that day. I said, well, I shared what I felt like. I did what the Lord said. I was at ease. I was at peace. So I left away and I just left it up to the Lord's hands. And so we went home And we started praying, Lord, if this is your will, then let it be. Let us be ready. And then they had a brothers meeting and they announced again that they needed a family to go. So I was thinking, well, maybe that's not it. And then they also talked about it, that about splitting the church up and sending people to other states maybe or in other places and sending families and doing that. And I started thinking, well, that's a mission field. And I said, well, you know, I was thinking more foreign missions, but maybe the Lord wanted us right here in the States. You know, it's still a mission. So when I went home from the brothers meeting, I shared my heart with my family. And so we started praying, you know, Lord, where do you want us to go? And we wanted to just be prayed up, ready to go. When the Lord said, go here, we would say, yes, Lord, we're ready. And we just said, wherever you want us to go. If you want us to go to Missouri or Alaska or anywhere, you know, wherever you want to go, even in the States or Haiti or Africa, Lord, we just want to be prayed up and ready to go. When you say, okay, it's time, and we would say, yes. I just wanted to be obedient. I didn't want to suffer another 2 years of hard times with the Lord being disobedient. So that's when they had another brothers meeting. And then when they shared that lessons were going to go, and I thought, well, that is closing the door. The Lord that's not where He's wanting us to go. Maybe it is somewhere else. So my heart was leaning more back to Missouri again or something. Maybe they're going to send a bunch of families there or somewhere, you know, or Alaska. And so, or maybe even Honduras, you know, I didn't know. And so I was sitting there, Lord, what do you want for us? So we just kept praying and fasting. Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? We would just be ready wherever you say and just want to be ready for it. So we kept praying that. And then so when Emmanuel asked us over, I really didn't know what he was going to ask. My wife was already prepared for it, but I wasn't. I didn't really know what he was going to do. But he, when he shared with us to go, we almost wanted to say yes right then, but I really felt like we needed to just pray a little bit more about it, confirm it, and, you know, Lord, are you sure? You know, like when the Lord brought it to our mind of Peter, you know, when they were praying for Peter to come out, and then he's at the door, and they shut the door on him, and said, who's getting out there? You know, Peter, and I'm sitting there, you know, Lord, are you sure? You know, because you pray for something, and then when it does come about, you wonder, is it real? You know, is it really what the Lord wanted? But we were always encouraged here. And each time when we got down to, I just wanted to say that Brother Aaron would always say just the right words to us. And would just say the right things at the right time. And we would just keep plugging on. Every time we thought even here that, well, that's not what we have. What do you have for us, Lord? He would always come up there and say something to it and encourage us. And he probably doesn't even know he did that. You know, that's the Lord. He did it in our lives. And we just blessed him for that, being used of the Lord. But to end that, right now we just don't want to be afraid of the giants, and we just want to go and possess the promised land that He set before us. And I pray you heard my heart. Thank you.
Amen. Well, that was a blessing to hear from our brother who's been here. I guess, has it been a year and a half or two? Ricky, where are you at? I'm losing track of time. About a year and a half. Okay, that's what I thought. Amen. Just a real person giving a real testimony of a real God. Amen. Very thankful for that. And, you know, that's what God wants to use as servants. That's all He can use. Only a servant.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.